Let others blow our horn. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Let others blow our horn. It's so easy for us to get excited about telling the world how wonderful we are, how fantastic we are, how great we are. And as we do this, what do? We start telling all of our adventures and all of our activities and all the things that we're doing, and we sound very pompous. We sound very as though we have no humility whatsoever. But when we let others blow our horn, then we don't sound that way. Then we just humbly accept and say, that's true, that's true. Now, can you do that? Do you have the strength? Do you have the power? Do you have the ability to just sit back and let others take the credit and give the credit and speak the word about how wonderful we are? I'm often among people who are telling me how accomplished they are and how wonderful they are and what great achievements they make in their life. And I think to myself, yeah, that's true. They have done that. Yeah, that's true. They have. Yeah, that's true. They have. And you know, as I listen to these people, I do not hear one single word of what other people have done. I listen to them, and they tell me all about their own virtues and their own values and their own creativity, but they don't speak about what other people do. Now, when I hear people telling me how wonderful somebody is, I think they have the eyes to see it. They must be wonderful too. When I hear somebody tell me some lovely thing that another person has done and say it with all joy in their heart, I think that person is really quite wonderful. Not the person they're talking about, but the person who is talking. Because they don't need the credit for themselves. How wonderful it is when we can go out and be who we are. We hear all about people who say, I want to be a millionaire. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other thing. And then we watch them, and we would like to see how a person who wants to be a millionaire acts. And as we watch them, we see them doing all sorts of undesirable things, like saying, I don't get this. I don't understand this. How come this is so confusing? How come this is so tough? And why is it that everything good is so hard to get to? And you see, saying these sort of remarks shows me the kind of person who's talking. It shows me the kind of person who's out there wanting to be a millionaire. And they want to be the millionaire no more than the man in the moon, because they are constantly preparing themselves for not being a millionaire. When we let other people blow our horns, you can be sure that it's going to be something good. It's going to be something nice. Even though people say naughty things about themselves or naughty things about conditions, they don't say naughty things about other people if they themselves are very nice people. If they themselves are very notable people, very wonderful people. And I meet the wonderful, notable people all the time. It's a great joy to do that. Wherever I go, people tell me how wonderful life is and how wonderful the world is and how wonderful I am. And I say, thank you. They tell me how I do nice things all the time and how I'm always thoughtful of them and how I'm always looking after them to see that they get the good that could be theirs now. And they say, yeah, that's very thoughtful, Herb. You know, it's very nice of you, Herb. You really are a very considerate person. And I say to myself, wow, it's so much nicer having someone else blow my horn than when I do it. I tell people, now you tell me what the world is all about. You tell me what's going on in the world. You tell me about the people who populate your world, the people resident in your world. Tell me about them. Tell me all about them. And then as I listen, I know the kind of world they live in. If they are happy, joyous, free in every aspect of their being, they create every person in their world that same way. The other person may, you might be hard put to find something nice to say about the other person, but they find it and they say it because that's their nature. That's who they are. They are that beautiful, wonderful, fantastic person. They are that joyous, marvelous, sincere person. They are that delightful, fantastic person that everyone wants to be near and everyone enjoys the company of. They are that person. And you can be sure, when you have something good to say about somebody else. Now, a lot of people say nice things about other people, but they say, you know, I told them how wonderful they were, and they said, oh, you are too. Well, don't ever say that. Because if you say that, you're just looking for a pat on the back. You're looking for someone to say something nice about you. And when you're just looking for someone to say nice things about you, you can be sure it's going to be very slim. It's going to be very, very minus, because the things that you're saying about others are not triumphant and beautiful and marvelous and outstanding. We have the ability to be the master, to let other people blow our horn if we want to. We have that ability. Because in truth, we never have to blow our own horn. We never have to tell people how good we are. We never have to tell people how wonderful the world is or how wonderful anything is. Because how we respond to the world is how the world really is. The movie Contact the other night had an interesting experience in it. It had a blind man who was extremely brilliant, extremely brilliant. He was into all space. He knew everything. Now, he was just amazing. And one of the amazing things that he did was he knew the people that he was around. He knew the people who were around him. And as he came into one rather dramatic environment, he stood for a moment while someone got him a chair. And as he stood there, he said to the person next to him, "Well, Mr. Klitz, so good to see you again." No, he didn't say that because he's blind. He said, "So good to smell you again." And I thought, isn't that an interesting remark? He apparently knew the smells of all the different people around him, the people he was familiar with, the people he met more than once, and people he didn't meet more than once. They had smells too. But the smell of the people that he met were not angry people, were not terrible people. They were people who were in everyday life. Some of them had other agendas than were proper, but they were still important people, and he knew their smell. And he knew their odor. Now you say, I don't think I could ever do that. I don't think I could be aware of other people's odor. I don't even know when I have an odor. I don't even notice that. That's true. You have not developed that capacity of your perceptivity because you have eyes and because you are able to be in a seeing world. And the seeing world is so filled with images and so filled with expressions that you haven't trained yourself. People who are blind sense where the curb is. They sense where things are. They know where things are. They're not against anything. They're just for everything. And the smells that the blind man and blind people are able to be aware of that we are not even aware of, played itself out even more strongly the other day. I was watching as the Border Patrol drives on the upper road of our property. They love to tour our property because they're looking for the international travelers who are not here with permission, the illegal aliens, they're called. We call them international travelers. And as they drive along, they're looking for these people. Now, 99% of the people are going to be just international travelers. 1% might be drug dealers and so forth, but it's a very small percentage. And I can tell what the attitude is of the Border Patrol as they drive by thousands of feet from the house. And as they drive by, and Rex will smell their anxiety. Rex will smell their fear. Rex will smell their anger, will smell all the vibrations of these Border Patrol as they go by. And he will bark and he will sense that and he'll say, "Why are you fellas so upset? Why are you so angry? You don't have to be. The people you're after are basically just nice people who are trying to come to the United States and get themselves a different type of living." And yet they come. And other Border Patrol vehicles go by, and there's no barking. I've noticed that the Border Patrol people who are higher up on the echelon of the grouping of Border Patrol men and women, Rex doesn't bark at them, because they have learned to be at peace with themselves. They have learned to take that energy that the newly born Border Patrol men have, that energy of anger and hate and disgust and worry about that they might be hurt in some way. The older Border Patrol people turn that around into their own intuitive awareness of where the international travelers might be, and how the international travelers might be, and what they're going to do about. They probably are more deeply in tune with the drug smugglers. And so when they sense a drug smuggler, then they get highly activated and in tune. But for the average fellow that comes across the border looking for international traveler, looking for a better way of life, they have no anxiety. They're peaceful. And Rex doesn't bark at them. In fact, we've run across many of the Border Patrol, and they were out of their trucks, all by themselves, and they were putting this little plastic piece on the wrists of these international travelers behind their back, and they have their gun in their holster, and they're putting this handcuffed on the international travelers, and they have no anxiety in their heart. Can you imagine a Border Patrol out there all by himself, and then having to put the handcuff onto a person, and then not being able to have his hands free for his gun and having his hands for protection? He doesn't worry about it. He knows these people will cooperate with him. He knows that they're not going to pull something funny. He knows that, because he's not going to pull something funny. He's in balance with himself. He is broadcasting to the world the type of person he is. And he's broadcasting to the world the type of people that he's picking up. And Rex and I have often walked up to them while they're in the process of putting on the handcuffs on people, because we're walking around our property, and all of a sudden, there they are. And Rex goes over and wags his tail at the international travelers, and they realize he's friendly. And the Border Patrol man, he realizes that he can recognize, that the dogs recognize very well what anxiety is going on and what sort of attitude is going on in people. And because the dog recognizes this, and the Border Patrol is an older group of people who know that, they're not worried. They take the alert of the dog, they take the awareness of the dog, and they realize that the people are what they are. The dogs don't have to blow their horn. The dogs go in with a wagging tail, and you know exactly where they stand. The Border Patrol don't have to go blowing their horn and chasing after people. They go in there and they say, all right, I'm going to get these various people who are coming across without permission, and I'm going to incarcerate them. I'm going to arrest them. And so he does. But he does it with a peaceful heart. And of all the Border Patrol who are up and down our thousands and thousands of miles of border, how many get killed? How many are hurt? Oh, some of them are hurt by the drug runners, but only because they were frightened of the drug runners. They didn't go in there with confidence, knowing that they're in control. The drug runners smell when people are not in control, when they have the upper run. All these people are trained in their various fields. Now, we've been talking about the illegal fields, but the legal field is just the same way. When you go into a store, the clerks look at you and they know that you're an honest person, that you're not a shoplifter. They know that you're not going to steal from their store, and they're not worried. But other people, by their nervousness, by their reaction to life, by their inner activity that goes on in their body, by the smell, probably, they know that that person is a person you must watch. How do we blow our horn? We blow our horn by being unconditionally loving of everybody and everything that goes on in our world. When we're unconditionally loving about everybody and everything that goes on in our world, we have some pretty marvelous things happening to us. Life is filled that way. Life is just filled with all sorts of grand and glorious experiences because it's just that harmonious way. It's just that harmonious way. We put out an odor. We put out a feeling. We put out vibrations. We put out an energy. Oh, a very strong energy. And that energy tells the world who and what we are. We call it our charisma. Some people call it an odor. I had a young man who was working with me, and he was a very nice person. But occasionally, he would think negative thoughts. And unfortunately for him, or fortunately, whenever he would think these negative thoughts, he would stink. Oh, he would smell to high heaven. He had a body odor that was really pretty rancid. And I would say to him, now, you have a body odor. Now, what do you think that's from? And he says, I don't know. That happens every once in a while. I said, have you ever stopped to think why it happens? No. Well, think about it. When does it happen that you have this unpleasant body odor that's so strong, it's just filled with energy that tells everybody that you got something bad going on inside of you? It's a bad odor. And, well, what do you think it means? Well, he did not want to admit to what it meant. But what it meant was that he had bad thoughts. He was contemplating doing some things that he was not proud of. He was contemplating being a person that he was not proud to be. Our body always tells the story. When you have body odors, you can be sure it's because you don't have a clean personality going on inside of yourself. When you have bad body odors. They say the athletes have a body odor. Well, theirs is not a bad body odor. Theirs is an athletic body odor that it's not bad. And I don't know how to describe it or how to put words to it, but when they are having evil thoughts, then their body odor is like a bad air that comes out. It's because their body had not digested the food properly, they say. That has nothing to do with it. Bad body odor comes from a bad energy, from bad thoughts, from things that are not harmonious with you or with the world. And everyone knows. Those are called anger. Those are called anxiety. Those are called hatred. Those are called meanness. Those are called not desirable at all. And if you ever allow yourself to go into life with any of these attitudes, be sure the world is going to read you like a book, or they're going to smell you like a skunk, and they're going to know very well exactly the type of person that you are. Never blow your own horn, because you're blowing your horn when you have these body odors. You're blowing your horn when you have these odors about you that dogs can smell, and they know that you're fearful. They know that you're anxious. They know that you're afraid. They know that you've got problems, and you don't need that. You don't need that. Be a loving, beautiful, fantastic, glorious center of peace. And when you're that loving, beautiful, fantastic, glorious center of peace, you know what happens to you? What happens to you is that everything in your world goes beautiful. Everything in your life goes wonderful. Let the rest of the world blow your horn. Let the rest of the world tell the rest of the world how wonderful you are, how thoughtful you are, how generous you are. Let your actions show who you are. Let your actions, let your words, let your thoughts, let your attitudes, let the emotion of your being be in control and in control of pure love, in control of pure peace, in control of a pure joy. And as you do that, you find that everything in your life is wonderful. But when you go around blowing your own horn, when you go around telling the world how wonderful you are or what your problems are, it may not always be that the world gets the response that you want them to have. We have the ability to blow our horn in an invisible way. We have the ability to blow our horn in our body odors, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our thoughts, in our energy. And it is important for each one of us to say, I like me, I like me, I like me. To say, all is in divine order, all is peace. And take a deep breath and release that deep breath and just do that a dozen times. Whenever your emotions seem to be getting the best of you, whenever you're sticking your foot in your mouth too often, whenever you're being discourteous or unkind or angry or hateful, stop, as the saying goes, and count to 10. Stop and count to 10, take 10 deep breaths, and you watch. All of those negative emotions, all of those horn-tooting ideas that are going out that are not what you really want to give to the world, they sort of fade away and never come back. But only because you have chosen to be master of yourself. You have chosen to toot your own horn with all of the love, joy, peace, harmony, and humility that you could possibly have. I see you blowing your horn in this beautiful way now, and me too. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.